With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time Broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us together by the radio to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're going back again to our study on what we learn as we have watched Christ crucified. You remember the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 27, and in verse number 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. For several days, we've been observing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you, first of all, we look, and what do we see? We looked at the crowd. We looked at the crosses. We looked at the Christ. And then I said to you, second, we listen, and what do we hear? And we listen to the voices of the spectators around the cross. And then we listen to the voice of the Savior upon the cross. And then after we looked and we listened, we're reviewing our study on what did we learn. And I'm sure that the Lord has helped us in many areas as we spent these weeks studying about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said to you, there are three areas that I want to deal with in what we learn about the death of Christ. Again, let me name them and then I'll back up and finish the first one, the Lord willing, on the broadcast today. I said to you, first of all, we learn that the death of Christ is a supernatural death. And then second, we learn that the death of Christ is a sacrificial death. And thirdly, we learn that the death of Christ is a substitutional death. And we're going to look at all of these as the Holy Spirit develops them for us over the next few days. But we spent a couple of days already looking back at the first one on it was a supernatural death. I don't want to take time and go through all the scriptures that I've gone through, but in Matthew chapter number 27 and in verse number 50, the Bible said, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. We read over in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, where the Bible said, and Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible said, having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And I pointed out to you from John chapter number 10, verse number 17 and 18, where our Lord said several days before his crucifixion, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. In verse 18, he said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so we saw here that Christ died of his own will. Death could not touch him, so he died of his own will. And so we saw that his death was a supernatural death. There's a couple of other supernatural things that happen here in chapter number 27 that I want to just mention on the broadcast today while we're here. Not only do we discover there was a supernatural death, but we also discover there was a supernatural darkness. The Bible said back in verse number 45 and 46, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. In a previous study, I pointed out to you supernatural darkness in the Word of God is a symbol of God's judgment. And I pointed out to you there are at least five of these supernatural darknesses in the Word of God. The first one is in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible said in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And then the Bible said in verse number 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." So the first darkness was there, and I believe that to be the judgment of God upon Lucifer when he's cast out of heaven. And then the second darkness was in the judgment of God upon Pharaoh and his people down in Egypt, where they would not let God's people go. Then also our Lord spoke of an outer darkness, which was judgment upon that unfaithful servant that would not do the Lord's biddings. And then we looked at the fourth darkness found in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 16. And there we found that darkness was a judgment of the Lord upon the Antichrist and his system. And now then, here at this darkness, it is a supernatural darkness. And you say, "Preacher, what kind of judgment is here?" Well, I believe I can tell you, at this darkness, God the Father is judging the sins of the entire world upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christ hung on the cross, God brings a supernatural darkness. The Bible said over in the book of John, chapter number 8 and verse number 28, and if you know the book of John, that up until this chapter, Jesus has been presenting himself as the Son of God. In chapter number 1, he identified himself as the Word, which was God, and in the beginning with God. In chapter number 2, he turns the water into the wine in the first of his miracles, proving that he's God. In John chapter number 3, he told Nicodemus he must be born again. In John chapter number 4, he spoke with a woman from Samaria at Jacob's well. And she left her water pot, and the well started springing up in her, the well of salvation, springing up into everlasting life. In John chapter number 5, he reveals his divinity and his ability as God by the healing of the man that lay there by the pool year after year. In John chapter number 6, he presents himself as the bread of God from heaven after he broke the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the hungry multitude. In John chapter number 7, in that great day of the feast, he stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then in the beginning of chapter number 8, he again faces the crowd with the fact that he's God, when the woman was taken in the very act of adultery. And Jesus said to the crowd, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." And they, being convicted of their own conscience, began to walk away. And he said to that woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." All of these incidents I've mentioned, and I just give you a very brief panoramic view of the chapters, but all of these incidents that I mentioned are given to show us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, the Jews would not accept it. And when you come to John chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." May I please paraphrase that in our conversational language of this day. Our Lord said to the Jews, "I've done all of these things to show to you that I am the Son of God." that have power to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to change lives, and all of the things it's mentioned in those previous chapters. But it says, though he said, I've done these things, and you still do not believe. I'll tell you what, you wait till you lift me up at Calvary, and when you lift up the Son of Man, then you're going to know that I am he. Well, in our text now, he has been lifted up. And he said, when I'm lifted up, you'll know that I am he. And so the supernatural darkness and the supernatural death manifest the fact to those Jews that he is superior to normal man. And then there's a third thing I want to mention briefly, found here in Matthew chapter 27 and verses number 51 through verse number 53. And this I call a supernatural demonstration. The Bible said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So not only there is a supernatural darkness and there is a supernatural death, but there is a supernatural demonstration. The Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. They tell us that the veil was thick enough that it would have took 12 yoke of oxen, six on either side, to have torn the veil. But yet, at the moment Christ died, then that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, this veil did not rent from the bottom up, as though some man was cutting or tearing it in some way. No, it does not start with man from the ground and rend upward to the top. It starts with the top and rends downward, coming from God. And so the veil was rent. And I remind you, this would have been the exact time that the high priest was behind the veil with the evening sacrifice. And oh, my friend, can you imagine what happened when the news spreads that the veil of the temple, which hid the Holy of Holies, had been rent, and the mercy seat and all that was behind there was now exposed to the eyes of mankind. Well, we'll pick up here tomorrow, the Lord willing, and continue our study. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Ballou speaking. Let me invite you to make your plans to join us for our week of camp meeting, Thanksgiving week. That's beginning on November the 21st and going through November the 26th at the Faith Baptist Camp located in Resaca, Georgia. Brother Sammy Allen's a moderator. We'll have a great week of preaching and singing and fellowship, and I hope you can come and be with us. We're located about 65 miles north of Atlanta and about 45 miles south of Chattanooga, just off Interstate 75. I hope you'll make your plans and be with us. We'll have a great week together. Then remember, I need to hear from you. Pray for us, and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure and join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Oh, do not wait. It's growing.